For decades now, a gold mine in Northwest Territories has been a point of tension between the Yellowknives Dene First Nation and the federal government. The giant mine was opened in 1948 in an area that was supposed to be protected for use by the Dene. It produced huge quantities of gold over the years, but extracting that gold also produced thousands of tons of toxic arsenic. The Yellowknives Dene have been living with that legacy of contamination ever since. And now, the First Nation is calling for an apology from Ottawa and compensation. 46 years ago, in 1974, on this program, Yellowknife resident and former As It Happens producer Kelly Creighton talked about environmental hearings on the arsenic contamination.
Yellowknife itself has an area which is called the Old Town, or Lot 500, which is an area in the Old Town, where most of the Native people live. And a lot of those people don't have running water. And traditionally, they always got their water from the Back Bay, and they always fished in the Back Bay and lived off the fish in the Back Bay. But since the mines, they have been unable to do that. And perhaps one of the most dramatic things that happened yesterday at the hearings was the chief of the Yellowknife Band, a man named Joe Charlo, who got up and told how, since the coming of the mines and the coming of the white man, the water has changed and the fish have changed, and his people are no longer able to live in the way they used to.
Ernest Betsina is one of the chiefs of the Yellowknives Dene First Nation. We reached him in Detta, Northwest Territories.
Chief Betsina, when you hear that description of the giant mine situation back in 1974, almost 50 years ago, what goes through your mind?
I was born and raised in Dilo, and I remember those days so well, so vividly. I grew up with in one of those two-bedroom shacks where there's no running water or sewer. You know, we had a slop pail. There was no running water for us back then. And I remember giant mine. You can visually see it, and the sad legacy of from the giant mine. I don't remember too much good things coming mm-hmm. from the giant mine.
And that clip was from 1974. But the toxic legacy of giant mine, this goes back into the 40s and 50s, doesn't it? And can you just describe what long-lasting effect, what legacy that mine has had on your community?
Maybe I'll just give you a little sense of the scale of the challenges that we're faced with. There is enough arsenic in the mine. There's 237,000 tons of trioxide dust that's stored underground. So to put that in perspective, that's approximately 15 story buildings side by side by side. That's how much arsenic is buried under the giant mine. That's enough arsenic there to kill everybody in the world many times over. My elders they call this big arsenic, they don't know how to say arsenic in their language, so they call it a monster. The monster of the giant mine came between us and our way of life on the land. It still haunts our community, and the social effects that spiral out from the poisoning of the lands, the food insecurity, displacement, intergenerational poverty, loss of meaning, homelessness, misery, despair, alcoholism, suicide, and this is giant mine toxic legacy. So like I said, there's so much negative things that I can remember.
We go back into the 50s of becoming aware of what it was doing when many people were getting sick. A child died. And what were the promises? What commitments did they make? Did the companies make? Did the government make that they were going to clean the place up, that they were going to actually take care of what had happened to it?
Well, way back then, the federal government they failed us to take care of us before giant mine, during giant mine, and this is where we want to try to make the wrong right after giant mine. So basically, we're asking for two things. Two main things is to heal from the past with a formal apology and adequate compensation, and to set a good path for the future through remediation contracts.
So the one thing you want is to be able to take part in the reclaiming and the restoration of the land to clean up the mess. The other thing you're asking for is an apology.
That's right, yeah.
And what would that mean for people who are your elders, especially, who remember the early days of what happened with that mine?
Well, because my people have never received an apology from Giant Mine. So part of the reconciliation is to start with a formal apology from the federal government. And also, too, we have not received monetary gain from the Giant Mine. So we are asking for a conversation so that way we can help our people and try to heal from the Giant Mine legacy, from the land, because the Giant Mine itself took away our lands from hunting, trapping, gathering. It was great berry picking around that area. So my people lost a lot of land, not only land but water, because we used to fish in that area, and now we can't fish, we can't gather, we can't pick berries, we can't hunt in that area, and we certainly can't fish in that area.
You never, the Yellow Knives Dene First Nation never benefited from the mine itself, never got jobs, never got any of the resources that came from that gold mine. But now what you'd like to see at least is that you get something from some contract, since they're going to now try and fix the damage. What commitments have you heard from the federal government that they will include you in that project?
Well, right now, everything is hearsay right now. And so basically what we're asking is, we want the government of Canada to come to the table and assure that after so many decades of toxic legacy, the Yellow Knives Dene people will benefit from the cleanup of this land and to create long-lasting skills, jobs, apprenticeships in many areas in the mining sector. And more importantly, is healing of the land.
We seem to have also already a partial response from the director, a director with Crown Indigenous Relations in Northern Affairs Canada, who said that the federal government is looking for ways to have your First Nation participate, but cannot negotiate a sole source contract with Yellow Knives Dene on that project. What do you make of that?
I'm certainly hoping that the federal government, we can at least meet and talk about these issues, and instead of just stating in the media that they can't negotiate contracts. I mean, let's come to the table. Let's at least do that.
But this story of Giant Mine and its toxicity and what it did to your First Nation, this story is decades old. Do you think that the federal government will actually make it right, will actually do right by your First Nation now?
Well, yes, I do believe that they will make it right. I mean, even though all these years have gone, they have to take the responsibility for the wrongs that they have done to my people, and I'm hoping that they will help us heal from this toxic legacy.
Chief Betsinda, it's good to talk to you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Ernest Betsinda is one of the chiefs of the Yellow Knives Dene First Nation. He was in Detta, Northwest Territories.